Good morning. It is so good to see you all here. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able as I read from God's Word. We're going to finish up on being dressed for battle. Ephesians 6, 14 through 18. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, I pray that today and every day, that Lord, you will teach us and empower us to put on the spiritual armor every day. Because we know, Lord, that we will face battles, and when we are protecting ourselves in the spirit realm, we know, dear God, that we can stand through anything, and mainly because you are leading and guiding us. And Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit and nothing of my own words and from my flesh. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so looking into the spiritual armor. Now, I told you last week in the sermon, you know that people who go into battle, they have to have protection. If they didn't have protection, then they would be more quickly or mortally wounded, and then they'd be of no use. And back in the days of the Bible, When men would go off into battle, men were dressed accordingly, and it was very important that they put on each piece of their armor, because when they went into battle to fight, they had to protect, you know, different parts of their body. But not only that, with the armor, they were trained how to fight. So when Paul was writing Ephesians, Paul was giving us, in the spiritual aspect of life, the armor that we must put on every day. Now, when I was a young man, after I got saved, I had somebody showed me something that I thought, well, that's a little bit goofy. But this guy got up in front of the whole group, and he says, you know, I put on the helmet of salvation. And he went like this. He said, I put on my breastplate of righteousness. He said, I've got my belt of truth around my waist. He said, and then he did his feet. He said, I put my feet, they're shod with the preparation of the gospel. He said, I've got my sword, and he held up his Bible. And you know what? About that time, I thought, boy, that is pretty neat. And so I don't do it anymore. I should. I think my wife would probably think I was a little crazy. But when I started doing that, I tell you what, really, in a way, I started feeling like, hey, I am dressed and ready for battle because I put on the pieces of armor that God has given to me to protect me as I go out through the day. So first mentioned in verse 14, the Bible tells us to gird our waist with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the belt is a very important piece of armor. The belt, back in the days of the Bible, the belt was what basically supported and attached together all the pieces of the armor. But the belt of truth represents, as Paul defined it, it represents God and the good news of Jesus. If we, having been saved by Jesus Christ, we have a testimony and we have a witness to share. We have the truth of God's love and God's power. And every day, you and I as Christian people, we should seek to put on that belt of truth, that the only words that come out of our mouth is the truth and the life-giving power of God's Word. There are people living in this world today who don't know about the love of Jesus. So many people never have even picked up a Bible, and there are people living in darkness. But if you and I would forget about ourselves, if we would put aside our needs and we would look around us at the needs of people that are dying and going to hell daily, and if from our hearts we were compelled and we were motivated to share with them the truth of God's message, I'm here to tell you that if we would do that, we would start seeing people's lives being changed. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate to a soldier, the breastplate protected the entire, like the shoulders and the trunk of the body, sometimes would come down a little bit lower to protect like the waist and the loin area. And so with that breastplate of righteousness, or with the breastplate, the soldier was protected from anything like arrows or knives or swords that would be projected toward the upper body. Now, with the breastplate of righteousness in the spiritual sense, it means to do what is right, and it protects the spiritual life of the believer. Now, doing what is right. Well, we know what God's Word says about how we should live. If we read God's Word and we live according to that Word, then we are protected in the spiritual life from the attacks of the enemy. When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, you know what? The devil wants to get a hold, and the devil wants to try to defeat your heart. So the devil is going to throw everything he can at you. But if you are living by the authority of the Word of God, then you will be able to withstand the attacks and the assaults that the devil brings up against you. You have to excuse me. My voice is kind of fighting me today. A Christian's behavior identifies them to the world as a follower of Christ. What does your breastplate look like? What do others see in you? Are you portraying Jesus? Does the world see you as Christ-like? So, if you are a follower of Christ, then people should automatically be able to look right at you right away and say, hey, that person is a Christian. And how do they know that? A lot of the times, you don't ever have to say a word. It's by the expression of joy that's upon your face. That's why I've never understood why Christian people want to go around with a frown on their face, or looking like they've lost their best friend, or like somebody took the Oreos off of their dessert tray. You know, something like that. But I see Christian people walking around just so defeated. And really, if we take the time, and I had somebody mention something to me yesterday that really struck a chord. She said to me, I've never understood why people call themselves Christians and they go to church. And she said, I have seen people my whole life, every Sunday, they go to the altar with the same burden every Sunday, and people go down and pray for them, and then when they get up and they walk away, they carry the same burden back with them. And I thought, wow, that really made me think. And I remember that. I remember days in church where I would see a lot of the same people go down, And you would go, and I would kneel beside them and pray. And really, I'd forgotten about this. They were praying about the same thing that's been going on in their life for quite some time. So see, if Christ is our Lord and Savior, then we should not be carrying any burdens around with us. If we're carrying around a burden, then how can we share the truth of God's Word? If we're carrying around burdens, then how are we going to continue to be an effective witness for Christ? Because if we're carrying around these heavy weights in this life, the world's going to see that, and non-Christian people, if they see us coming out of church and we look like, I said this a few weeks ago, we were baptized in pickle juice. If people see us looking like that, you know what folks are going to say? I don't want to go to that church. I don't know what kind of service they had. What kind of preaching was going on there? Did they have a funeral service today, not a church service? What happened? But the world is watching you, and you know who the world is really watching? The man in the pulpit. My friend Julia, she was cutting my hair yesterday, said to me, preachers have the most people ready to throw stones at them because of what they do. I said, you're right. You're right. You know, people look at pastors or preachers or evangelists as perfect people. I used to look at my grandpa. He was a pastor, and I used to think that man could do no wrong. I mean, I held him up on a pedestal. And I remember the first time I saw him get angry. I was really downhearted as a young boy. I never thought, and then my grandpa explained to me, that we as being human beings, we're not perfect in any way, and we're going to fall. But he said, when we fall, we have to get right back up, dust ourselves off. And he said, we have got to get back on the journey that Christ has called us to do and the path that He set before us to walk. So the world is looking, what are they seeing? If you're wearing the breastplate of righteousness, then your heart is being protected. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, verse 15. Now, soldiers had to wear sandals to protect their feet when they were going into battle. And the sandals helped the soldiers to walk and move swiftly to the places that they were going. Now, Paul kind of put this in perspective that Christians, you know, we're going to be walking. We're going to be traveling through this journey. And we need to have ourselves ready to the point as Christian people that we will say this. Now, in a battle, if the commander tells the army, I want you to go here and do this and do that, guess what they do? They go and do it. They don't question that authority. How many of you men ever served in the military? Anybody here serve in the military? No? Okay. I was sworn in and was supposed to go in the army, but I got called out because of a thing they found on a medical report, and they sent me home, and then I was discharged. So I never actually got to go in the military and serve my country. And I always wondered what it would be like if somebody ever disobeyed a fellow officer when they gave him a command or a strict order. I'm sure it wasn't a very pretty sight. Now, in the same way, God has given us commandments. God has given us strict and specific orders to live by that are right here in His Word. And if God tells us to go to a certain place and do a certain thing, then our response to the Lord should be, yes, Lord, I'm ready to go. Let's walk wherever it is, whoever it is you want me to go talk to. I told you all, I think last year I told you, the first time that I got invited to go preach in East St. Louis at 15th Street Baptist Church, right off of Ball Avenue exit, I had people coming up to me going, "You're going to go preach where? Do you know what that town's like?" I said, "No, I've never been there." So let me tell you what I heard. Well, I don't care what you heard. But the pastor had invited me to come, and so I made it a point that I was going, and that was November of 2003. And I clearly remember going up Interstate 57 to 64, and when I hit that Ball Avenue exit in East St. Louis, I went, and as soon as I hit 15th Street, I made a right-hand turn, went down just a block or two, and there was that little church on the right-hand side. And I want to tell you what I saw. I saw all kinds of people that morning. It was cold out, too. It was about maybe 20 degrees. And I saw some men walking the sidewalk. And as I drove by, I'd wave at them like that. And they'd wave back. And I thought, wait, these are really nice people here. And I got to the church, and one of the pastors asked me, he said, I got to know something. He said, "Weren't you just a little bit afraid?" I said, "No." I said, "Because the Lord's with me. The Lord's with me, and the Lord is guiding me, and He's protecting me wherever I go. So I'm not afraid." And I want to tell you, that was the best time of my life, preaching at that church. And the fellowship and the relationships and friendships that I had made with the people there that Sunday. And oh, I thank God for it. So when God calls us to go somewhere and witness, our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel. Basically meaning, you know your word. Where God tells you to go, you should go joyfully. You should go boldly in the name of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And you should be willing to take a stand and fight, because your Lord goes before you, and the Lord, He is a strong refuge. He is a mighty tower. He is our shield. He is our defender. So if God brings you to it, God's going to get you through it. Don't take on what, you know, what Jonah went through. And I preached on that some months back about Jonah being, you know, rebellious and not going where God wanted him to go. And all that he had to go through before he finally said, "Okay, I'll go preach. I'll go to Nineveh and I'll preach to them." I tell you what, I've been in some places where I've disobeyed the Lord and I had to go through some things. And I found out it's a lot easier to say, "Yes, Lord, I will go where you want me to go. And I will do exactly as you want me to do, because I sure don't want to suffer the consequences of any trials because of my bad judgment or my rebellion." Take up the shield of faith, verse 16. Our shield of faith is what deflects the enemy's attack. The shield is the strongest defense of protection. Now, I want to tell you this. When soldiers carried a shield, they didn't carry just some little shield, you know, like you see on TV, be about like this. These guys carried, a lot of them carried a pretty big size shield. And that shield was used that if for some reason they came under heavy attack, they could take that shield and they could place it in front of themselves and protect them. And in some ways, they could use that same shield and they could protect somebody else that was fighting right alongside of them. And what I mean by saying that, our spiritual shield, our armor, extinguishes the fiery darts that the devil throws at us. And we can use our spiritual shield to protect somebody else. And what I mean by that, there's going to be people that are going to go through hard and difficult times. And when they do, when the devil is attacking them, it's not our job just to stand by the wayside and watch them go through the attack. We should take our shield of faith. And also this, let me back up just a second. Soldiers were identified by their shield, by the markings on their shield, who they were with. That way, people knew not to attack their own guys. So, what's the identifying mark on your shield? People should know that as well. So, taking your shield of faith, you can go and help a brother or sister in Christ by basically going to them and saying, let me pray with you. Let me speak God's word over you. Let me share scripture with you. Let me do something of service for you during your difficult time. Because when we extend ourselves like that, when we take our shield of faith to protect somebody else, God is working in the midst of that. And I tell you what, it means a lot to a person who's going through some pretty deep struggles. You know, I was really wondering the other day, my friend Danny, his wife has fought cancer for a lot of years. And I tell you what, Sherry, through it all, through her treatments, everything, she was still going on trips with her husband and witnessing to people, serving youth. They were serving, they had a motorcycle ministry, and they would go to Louisiana, they would go to Knoxville, they would go everywhere. And she was fighting some of the worst sickness and disease of her life with this cancer she had. But she fought it bravely and valiantly. And when I heard that she passed the other day, I started thinking about, well, what is he experiencing? What is he feeling? I know his character. I know his faith. I know the stand that he takes in this walk in Christ. And the only thing I could do is go to prayer for my brother in Christ and lift him up in his time of despair, in his time of darkness. Lastly, the helmet and the sword, verse 17. The helmet is associated with salvation. Salvation is the best protection against Satan. If you are a child of God, you have the best protection ever, because God is not going to let Satan have you. If you are submitting to Christ and resisting the devil and following the Lord, nothing, not even the devil, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that's referenced in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, not even the devil. The devil doesn't have enough power and authority. God has all the power and the authority. And Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection gives us that same power and authority, but it's only by Him. And when we get saved and our lives are turned completely around, our hearts, we live differently within our heart, and we've got to protect. So, you know, the soldiers wore a helmet to protect their head, again, from, you know, during times of attack. They could fall and hit their head, or somebody could come up with a club. I've had people tell me my head was hard enough, it, you know, didn't matter what I got hit with, it would just destroy their weapon. And I'd say amen to that. But we've got to protect our mind. If we are Christ's child, we've got to let this heart be filled with everything of God and then set the heart over the mind. And we've got to protect what we think, how we perceive things, how we look at others, what others say, everything. We've got to protect. We've got to keep our thoughts in line with God's Word. And then the sword is God's Word. It's used in battle. It can defeat the enemy during spiritual attacks. If you know God's Word and you start speaking the Word when Satan comes at you, guess what? Satan's going to turn and run. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, Satan came after Him, and Satan tried to get Jesus to fall into temptation. And every time Jesus said these words, it is written, meaning in God's word. So when the devil comes up against you, that's why I preach a lot. Study your word, memorize it and know it and speak it, because when you speak the power of God's word, it destroys your enemy that's come at you. And when Jesus said, "It is written," and he would speak the Father's word, Satan would leave him. Satan would flee from him. If you would speak the word that's been given to you in this holy book, when you speak the word, when the devil comes up against you, he will leave. That's why James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Speaking it in difficult times helps to knock Satan down, and he has no power over God's word. See, I'll tell you what, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So how about it? Are you dressing yourself with the spiritual armor every day? It doesn't matter how young or whatever your age is or whatever. It doesn't matter. Every day you have to protect yourself. If you are a child of Christ, you should be clothing yourself in the armor, and you should be walking in the power that he's given to you.